fans. This is Molly welcoming you back to season two of Mysteries About True Histories. Get ready for more math, more history, and of course, more mysteries.
Where could they have gone? I just had them at practice yesterday.
Whatever is he looking for?
Soccer cleats.
Max misplacing his treasured soccer cleats? Who would have thunk it?
Trust me, nobody's more surprised than me.
Easy, Max. Watch out for my tools.
Sorry, Aunt Em.
I must say, it feels like a lot of things have gone missing lately. I couldn't find my drumsticks the other day. Max lost his cleats. Oh, and let's not forget, we almost got lost when the time radio sent us back to the wrong time.
Well, we're about to get to the bottom of that.
Yes! Found them!
Your cleats?
Well, not my new cleats, my old ones.
Whatever is that smell?
Max's old cleats. They smell like that mummy's tomb.
What can I say? I did a lot of sweating and goal scoring in these cleats.
Okay, here we go. I just need to decompress the airlock.
I wish I could decompress the air in this room.
Ha ha, very funny.
We're in.
Whoa!
I can't believe we're actually getting to see the inside of the time radio.
I know, it's so, is it just me, or does this just look like the inside of any regular old radio? What makes this a time radio?
This piece right here, the flux capacitor. That's what makes time travel possible.
Oh!
Wait a second. The flux capacitor? Isn't that just some movie mumbo-jumbo?
Yeah, that's from Back to the Future.
Okay, you got me. I was just playing around.
Good one, Aunt Em.
So, how does the time radio actually work?
See these two crystals? They're from the crystal caves.
You mean those crazy time caves where we met H.G. Wells last year?
Yep, those caves.
They're like a junction of time travel, right?
Correct. The time radio uses crystals from the caves to power its time travel. However, the crystals are quite sensitive. They can crack, chip, or lose power completely.
So maybe someone didn't hack the time radio. Maybe one of the crystals just got damaged from use?
Let's find out. Aha!
What?
There's a fracture in this crystal.
Okay. But the time radio did work fine on our recent mission to India.
That's because you only traveled back 100 years. The farther you go, the more strain on the crystals.
So we need a replacement crystal?
Yes.
But how can we get a replacement crystal without a dependable time radio?
Let's just say I have a few tricks, or crystals up my sleeve. Voila!
Whoa! It's beautiful! But wait, why aren't the other crystals
as clear as this one? It's because time travel clouds them over time. Now all we have to do is replace the crystal and calibrate the time radio.
How do we do that?
Replacing the crystal is easy. But to calibrate the time radio, we need the shape and measurements of the new crystal.
Oh boy, sounds mathy.
How astute of you, Max.
Well, looking at the crystal, I can tell it's a rhombic prism.
Rhombic? You mean the robot vacuum Rufus likes to chase around the house?
That's a Roomba, Max. A rhombic prism is a 3D rhombus.
Oh, cool. What's a rhombus?
The geometrical term for a diamond shape.
To calibrate the time radio, we need to know the angles of the rhombus face and the volume of the rhombic prism.
But the crystal is so thin and delicate. How can we get the measurements without damaging it?
With my trusty micrometer, a tool used to make very accurate measurements on things large and small.
Any chance it can measure how smelly my old cleats are?
I don't think we need a micrometer to tell us that.
She got you there, Max. For that, all you need is a nose.
And right now, I wish I didn't have one.
Okay. How do we figure out the measurements?
Well, The formula for the volume of a rhombic prism is d1 times d2 divided by 2 times L.
And what do the d's stand for?
D1 and d2 are the length of the diagonals on the diamond face, and L is the length of the prism.
Very good, Molly. So, as we take the measurements, we get d1 equals 4.2 millimeters, d2 equals 7 millimeters, and L equals 1.5 millimeters.
Great. Plug those into the formula, and we get V equals 4.2 times 7 divided by 2 times 1.5 millimeters.
Okay. So 4.2 times 7 equals 28 plus 0.2 times 7, which equals 1.4.
Great job, Max. 28 plus 1.4 equals 29.4. Divided by 2 equals 14.7.
And then 14.7 times 1.5 equals... Oh, boy.
You can do it, Max. Try breaking it up a little.
14.7 times 1.5 is the same as saying 14.7 times 1 plus 14.7 times 0.5, which is the same as dividing 14.7 in half.
Great observation, Max. Multiplying by 0.5 or 1 half is the same as dividing by 2.
Okay, so 14.7 divided by 2 equals 7.35. Of course, 14.7 times 1 is 14.7. 7.35 plus 14.7 equals 22.05.
More specifically, 2.05 millimeters cubed.
Very good, young problem solvers.
All right, let's pop this crystal in and get time traveling.
Not so fast. We still have one more calibration.
Aw, man.
The angles of the diamond face.
Correct.
All the angles added together should equal 360 degrees, and the angles opposite each other should be equal. If we know just one angle, we can figure out the rest.
But how are we going to measure the angle of such a small object?
Lucky for us, I measured one of the acute angles when I harvested the crystal. It is 58 degrees.
Great. So that means the opposite acute angle is also 58 degrees. Add them together, and you get 116 degrees. Now, all you have to do to find the remaining two obtuse angles is subtract 116 from 360. Then, divide by 2.
Okay. 360 minus 116 equals 244. Divided by 2 equals, 122.
Bingo! Okay, the calibration is complete. Now it's time
for a snack break.
For a mission.
Of course.
Another recent misstep has been misleading intelligence.
Missing drumsticks, missing cleats, time radio miscalculation, misinformation. It's like the pogs can't miss it missing.
What do you mean by misleading intelligence?
We misinterpreted our intercepts of the pogs regarding the Colossus of Rhodes. Even if you had been able to investigate it, there would have been no secret message to find.
Oh. So where do you think the secret POG message is now?
We have high confidence that it's in the torch of the Statue of Liberty.
The New Colossus!
The what now?
The New Colossus is the title of a poem Emma Lazarus wrote to raise money to build the Statue of Liberty. It's engraved on a plaque inside the pedestal.
Oh, wow. The things you know and don't know astound me.
More importantly, how are we supposed to get inside the Statue of Liberty's torch? The balcony around the torch has been closed to the public since 1916, when the German Navy blew up munitions near what became Liberty Island. Oh, wait, we have a time machine. We'll just go back before then. Duh.
Yes and no. You're going to the Centennial International Exhibition in Philadelphia, 1876. That's where the torch-bearing arm was exhibited 10 years before the statue was built.
Cool. We're on it, Ant-Man.
Look! They've got new foods on display at the exhibition. There's Heinz ketchup, popcorn, root beer.
Max, we're supposed to be looking for the Statue of Liberty display.
Found it.
Oh, right. It's hard to miss a colossal arm holding a torch. But why isn't it green? It's all coppery.
Because the Statue of Liberty is made of copper. It was that rusty-looking copper color until 1900, when oxidation cause verdigris, aka that green colored stuff, to spread.
Ah, so we're seeing the statue in its original form. Or at least the arm and torch. Cool.
Yep. Can we stop at the Heinz display first? I want to try some OG ketchup.
Come on, Max, stay focused.
Shh!
What? Why are we shushing?
Shh! I don't believe it. Look, it's...
Is that Mr. Conklin?
Quick, hide!
What's Conklin doing here?
Maybe if I uninvent ketchup, the trolls will beg me to rejoin the Order.
You've gotta be kidding. After failing to uninvent ice cream, the trolls kicked him out and now he wants to uninvent ketchup? Is no food sacred?
Wow, that stinks. But listen, we have to stay focused on the mission at hand. Besides, if Conklin couldn't uninvent ice cream with an army of trolls, there's no way he can uninvent ketchup all by himself.
Good point. Come on.
$0.50, folks. 50 cents to climb onto the Statue of Liberty to Bee's torch. Just 50 cents.
Do you have a dollar?
No, but I have 4 quarters.
Great. 2 tickets, please.
Step right this way. Hold on just a second. What kind of quarters are these? These have George Washington on them instead of seated Liberty. What kind of game are you kids trying to pull?
Yikes! We need 1876 quarters, not quarters from our time.
You do know counterfeiting quarters is a federal offense.
No. They're not counterfeit. They're new quarters for the exhibition.
That's funny. I didn't hear anything about new quarters. Wait a sec. The year on this says 2015.
Yes. They're coins of the future.
Never mind. Molly, run! Okay, I think he's gone.
I think pretty much everyone's gone.
Good. We'll use the cover of darkness to sneak into the torch.
Of course, the torch itself is all lit up. It looks really pretty. Are those gas lamps?
Uh-huh. Edison didn't debut his electric light bulb until 1879. Sure you don't want to try original Heinz ketchup?
I can't believe you snuck over to get ketchup.
I had to. This is the original ketchup.
Does it taste different?
No.
Can we do what we came here to do?
Yep, let's do it to it.
How are we going to get inside this torch to intercept the POG message? It's like a thick copper drum.
Maybe there's a seam or a small slit.
It'd be easier if we had more light. Wait a sec, that's it.
More light?
No, the lamp's lighting up the torch. Lamps can also be called torches.
You're right. Meaning?
The message could be in one of them.
Oh, good thing there are only 8 to check.
Careful, the bulbs are hot.
Ow, you're right about that.
Use your sock, and make sure to turn off the gas.
I don't see anything.
The moles must have removed it.
Wait, there's something written near the base. 1.
1? That's it? That's not a message.
Maybe the bulbs are numbered 1 through 8.
That'd be weird. But in that case, the bulb next to number 1 should be number 2 or 8. Depending on if they're counting clockwise or counterclockwise. This one doesn't have a number. All it says is.
This one says no.
There.
And.
2.
It.
Here.
That's all of them.
It seems like a message. But it's a little random. What next?
Well, well. Good to see you, Max. Molly?
Conklin! Ah!
Whoops. I dropped the light bulb.
I just wanted to say...
I'm sorry!
Huh?
I'm sorry. I took your stuff. Here, Molly, take your drumsticks back. And Max, I have your good soccer cleats.
So that's where they went. I knew I didn't forget my drumsticks.
But why did you take them?
After I failed to uninvent ice cream, the troublemaking trolls kicked me out. I tried to get back in by creating chaos in your lives, but that didn't work. So I came here to uninvent ketchup, but I couldn't do it. I love ketchup too much. I'm a failure.
It's weird, but I actually feel sorry for him.
So, what have you two been up to?
We're battling the Pogs now.
Max!
The Pogs? Wow, you better be careful.
Are they really that bad?
Let me put it this way. Even the troublemaking trolls are scared of the power-hungry Pogs.
Power-hungry Pogs?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, good luck. You're gonna need it.
That wasn't ominous at all. Mom, what are you doing?
Writing down the words inside these light bulbs so we can decode them later. One is no there and to here. And it's here as in to listen. Does any of that make sense to you?
Nope. We're gonna need some of that good luck.
This episode of Mysteries About True Histories was written by Dan Gold and voiced by Dexter Danger Mayo, Molly Smith, Sheila Morris, Mike Praviti, and Adam Tex Davis. Original music by Brian Suarez. Our associate producer is Max Kamaski. Technical direction and sound design by Josh Hahn. Mysteries About True Histories was created and produced by Adam Tex Davis and Jerry Kolber and is an Atomic Audio production.
The International Children's Arts Network, ICANN, is made possible by the Herbert A. Templeton Foundation, the Oregon Cultural Trust, the Brookby Foundation, and the Oregon Community Foundation. ICANN, poetry, story time, and music for kids.
Do-do-do-do.